Salt Lake City launches a new bike sharing program. Outdoor businesses call on the president to protect land around Utah's national parks. And a windstorm brings gusts up to 50 miles an hour to the Wasatch Front. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Salt Lake City officially launched its much-anticipated bike share program yesterday. It's called Green Bike, and it offers unlimited short-term trips between stations scattered across the city. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Green Bike is not quite a rental system. With memberships ranging from $5 a day to $75 a year, users pick up a bike at one of the solar-powered kiosks. But instead of chaining it to a corral or storing it at an office, the user returns it to the nearest kiosk for someone else to use. Ben Bolte is the bike share program manager. He says only about 1% of the population in cities across the nation use cycling as their primary mode of transit. But about 60% say they would ride a bike if it were more convenient.
And I think that's what this program will do, is it's going to expose a whole new segment of the population to something that might change their lives for the better.
Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker is an avid bike rider. Dressed in a suit and tie for today's event, he says Green Bike is not designed for what he refers to as the Lycra crowd.
This is designed really for those of us who are downtown dressed like this or anyway, and to be able to get on a bike that is stable, that is really easy to ride around on, and will get you where you need to go quickly.
100 three-speed bicycles are now stationed at 10 different locations in the downtown area. Green Bike was funded through a public-private partnership between Salt Lake City, Utah Transit Authority, Visit Salt Lake, Select Health, and Rio Tinto Kennecott. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Outdoor businesses and conservation groups are calling on the federal government to protect the land in and around Utah's parks. 29 organizations delivered a letter Monday to President Barack Obama calling for lasting protections for state and national parks from overdevelopment. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The letter urges President Obama to protect Utah's parks and open spaces from future housing, mining, or ski resort developments. It specifically names the Bear River Watershed and Zion National Park. Janine Donald is among those who signed it. She's the executive director of SPLOR, a nonprofit organization that provides outdoor experiences to the disabled in Utah.
We have a very vested interest in Utah's public lands being preserved and taken care of. There's a lot of us in the state of Utah who are tied to the outdoors. Our livelihoods, our businesses are tied to the outdoors, and I hope that there's access and it's in a pristine state for many years to come.
The letter asks President Obama to fully fund the Land and Water Conservation Fund in his upcoming budget proposal. The fund was established by Congress in 1964 to acquire land in order to protect it. But Annalie Barabee, regional field organizer with Environment America, says it's not been fully funded for years.
It's continually raided by Congress. So we're asking for full funding to go towards protecting our parks and open spaces across Utah and across the country.
The Land and Water Conservation Fund receives money mostly from royalty fees paid by offshore drilling companies. The fund is set to expire in 2015 unless it's renewed by Congress. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A national physicians group is urging Nevada to abandon the plan to pump groundwater from the Great Basin to Las Vegas. Physicians for Social Responsibility says drying up desert valleys will increase air pollution and lead to health problems downwind. Director Catherine Thomason says the hazards of airborne dust are well understood, but the soil in many western valleys also contains a mineral called arenite that is similar to asbestos, and the effect of that needs to be studied.
Certainly the risk with increasing dust when we know that there's arenite in the soils in the West Basin and in the areas that will kick up the dust storms to find out whether or not it will be exposing people to harm.
Thomason says western soils also contain the spores of a fungus that can cause a disease called valley fever. Now, it's rarely fatal, but the incidence of valley fever has quadrupled in the areas of the Southwest in recent years. Physicians for Social Responsibility applauded the decision by Utah Governor Gary Herbert not to sign an agreement with the state of Nevada that would have helped the pipeline project move ahead.
Wind gusts 30 to 50 miles an hour have been common along the northern Wasatch Front from Ogden to Salt Lake City overnight. The National Weather Service says high pressure over Wyoming is allowing cold air to flow downhill, causing the canyon wind event. The Deseret News reports there have been some scattered power outages in Davis and Tooele counties.
Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz spoke yesterday at the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah and called for a piecemeal approach to immigration reform rather than a comprehensive package. Chaffetz says if you want to solve the overall problem, you have to start by fixing legal immigration.
You never, ever solve this problem unless you fix legal immigration. I don't care how big, far, wide your fence is. If you don't fix legal immigration, you never solve the problem.
Chaffetz spent parts of the last week with Border Patrol and immigration officers on the Arizona-Mexico border, and he says there's a disconnect between what's actually happening at the borders and what Congress focuses on in Washington.
You know, you have a lot of people say, well, we need to secure the border. All right. Okay. So we get everybody nod their head, say, yeah, we need to secure the border. What does that mean? How do you gauge it? What are the metrics?
Chaffetz says if there is a comprehensive immigration bill put forward, he expects it would not loosen visa restrictions until operational border control is achieved.
Governor Gary Herbert plans to take a walk this afternoon. His companion for the stroll will be the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Regina Benjamin. She's participated in similar activities in other states to promote healthy lifestyles. State health officials say 59% of Utah residents are overweight and about a quarter are obese. Two 16-year-olds have been arrested in the death of a 33-year-old man in Moab. The body of Gregorio Salazar Campos was found in the Colorado River on Saturday. The Grand County Sheriff's Office said the body had gunshot wounds. The two teenagers are facing adult charges of murder and obstruction of justice. They're scheduled to appear before a judge on April 23rd. Joshua Peterson was denied bond yesterday by a court in Provo. The Daily Herald in Provo says he'll stay in jail while prosecutors prepare charges in the death of his five-month-old son. Authorities say Peterson was upset when his girlfriend broke up with him and plotted for a month before shooting the baby with a rifle last week. Police reports say a family member stopped him from killing himself. And finally, authorities have removed more than 60 pit bull dogs from the scene of a triple murder in southeastern Idaho. Most of the dogs were taken to the Idaho Humane Society in Boise for treatment and potential placement in new homes. Investigators believe the dogs were part of a dogfighting operation at a ranch outside of Holbrook. Last Friday, the bodies of three people were discovered on the property. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, April 9th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.